Public comments. We have a couple of public. Do you want to jump in and talk about, I hear you have an issue of some sort?
Yeah, no issue, just a question. Huh? Is now the time to do
it? It is.
All right, my name is Scott Kastner, and I just have a question about the Hawkinson Community Park.
Okay.
It's a great park, really big, and we are building over there currently. And we found that park, and then there's quite a bit of community being built in that area. And when we were touring the different models, we found one of them, there's a community called Urban Oaks. And looking on their map, it turns out there's an easement, and I guess the city, the Parks Department, the city, I don't know who exactly, is working on an easement to get access through the back of Hawkinson Park. Because right now, you got to go clear around to over a mile to get right to the front of the park, because the park's so big. And that was about a month or two ago. I called up last week just to see the access, because I use parks a lot, and we're building on the other side of 52nd. And they said, well, they didn't know anything, but that the lot was officially off the market, so it looks like it's proceeding. So I would just want to know if anybody knew the status of that, and maybe, if there's a planned ETA, and that's going to be done.
So, can we pull up GIS? Is that possible?
Yeah. GIS was down at 11:15 when I was jammed in my work. It's very frustrating. But if you can get it up now, that would be really great. Oh, you're special. You are. You guys blocked all of the rest of us out this time? Okay. Now I get it. I'm going to call Jeremy when I need to get him.
There we go.
Yeah. It is frustrating when it's so slow and it's a response.
It's because Jeremy's locking it up over there.
I want on their intranet.
So just kitty corner from there, down and left is
right there.
Yeah, that's the Urban Oaks development.
Okay.
And
so did I talk to you a couple months ago?
I called a couple months ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were talking
easement. I just thought,
where's the easement?
So the top right corner is that's not the easement, but that's the retention pond.
Yeah.
And then just south of that is that's the lot that's been taken off their for sale list, because they told the salesperson has told me that they are trying to get access. So behind that, to the right, is actually owned by the, I've done a lot of research on this. It's an HOA owns that, and I believe the HOA is part of that community to the south.
Yeah, so this is the HOA, and I believe the HOA president is right here.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's not that you don't know him, huh?
I think in the 70s.
Okay.
And that's where I ran into the snag. I couldn't get a hold of anybody who's, well, alive. And that still has, the ability to talk about this piece, because we're looking at this to see if there's a possible acquisition for that.
Yeah.
But that would make that would connect us to Hawkinson Community Park, which we only have one access, and that's off of 172nd.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at this subdivision, and I'm looking at the other ones around, and it should be nice to be able to capitalize on purchasing this wooded piece and then create some connections here. So it gets straight to the ball fields and into the off-leash area and all that.
So point at the easement.
So I did get a little ways. I did find some contact names, but I haven't called them yet. So
okay. That's
on me.
Okay. Yeah, I would just be an advocate for that too, because I think it's a great park. It's enormous. It's a huge park.
Yes.
And I think there's so many communities over there, and there's no sidewalks, and there's if you had to go around, you'd clock it from our house, which is where at Fieldstone, so almost a mile and a half.
Right.
That you would have to ride your bike or run on the road, and there's a ditch on both sides. There's no way to build a trail to get to the park. So if they're even if they just give you a little, just an easement to put a little trail in the corner there,
exactly. Enough. And of course, we've got this ditch right here to contend with, so we have to build some kind of cross.
There's a ditch. There's two ditches you have to build.
Yeah.
So there's a ditch up and down here and a ditch here. So
right.
Because
sounds like a great Eagle Scout project once we get that done.
Yeah.
This is all mitigation right here. So it's pretty wet. And so we probably have to try to find an access kind of forward in this area, come up closer to the crossing.
Is the HOA property wet?
I didn't jump the creek to get onto the HOA property, and there's no access to it because it's in everybody's backyard.
Is there an ecological?
But it's wet. It's all like you said. When it's raining, all this is flooded here.
Is it wetlands? Is it classified as wetlands? Isn't there on GIS that overlay?
And then it is, but I haven't found it.
Try permit it. See if they permitted it.
So is that under?
No, it's the same place. Permitted wetland, left side, down one.
I haven't found this to be very accurate. You did?
No.
Hey, right here. I'm right there with Jeremy.
What's up?
I haven't found that to be very accurate.
No.
So,
no, it's not. Okay.
Okay. So it wasn't permitted through the subdivision, so. Okay.
So, but that HOA has been in place since the 70s, and so it's changed hands as far as who's managing.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, there it is. Look.
There we go.
There's a model, and as you see, we steer clear of this wetland homes.
Oh, yeah. That's like my house.
Yeah.
Is yours on a wetland, too?
Ask for some additional
drainage. Oh, God. I have 6 inches of standing
it's
water.
Weird.
You know what
this area, though,
did?
Is the ditches get
in
plugged
cuts
up
off
so
the
it
bottom
flood.
Of my fence.
So it's not
so that the water can flow out of my yard into the street.
Right, well, is there anything I can do to help?
Okay. Oh, yeah, we had a big claim about that. We're right off the Whipple Creek.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Bill, thank you for looking into how to make connections with new subdivisions.
Absolutely.
That's great. And then thank you for coming and doing that, because one of the things we really love about our community or its connectivity and making connectivity from neighborhoods to parks and other public assets. So
absolutely
this would be a huge win if we could do something here.
You bring $7,000.
All ready to go.
There's one other the piece that's right that you got leased up.
Yeah, they're going to haul it.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome
because we did about pockets in that. So I go that park all the time with the kids. But go down over there, they've got Fieldstone, and then they've got another one.
Dunny Meadows.
Yeah, Dunny Meadows. That's the other
one. And phase one, phase two, and phase three.
Yeah, they were starting phase two, I think. And then the urban one.
Like 300 or 400 homes.
Not to belabor this, but right now we're looking at turning this 40 acres right here into this golf course.
Oh, good job, Bill.
You're going to turn it into a golf course?
Disc golf.
Disc golf.
Yeah.
You know, it just needs a few.
Frisbees.
I was like, when did we get into golf courses? I've been gone a couple months, but really?
At our budget office, asked if I want to take over Tri Mountain. And
then, can we? Geez. Can we take over Tri Mountain?
We could.
You want it?
You know,
they said that they made it right now.
He's like,
I've
got too much going on.
Let the dust settle.
They've been trying to get us to take.
I would love to get.
All right, this meeting, we've got actually a lot in this meeting, so let's try to get back on schedule. Okay, roll call. I think we pretty much know everybody's here, so moving along. How about minutes? Does anybody want to move to adopt minutes?
Move to adopt minutes as presented.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, aye. Passes. Picnic update. Barbara.
Oh, okay. Jeremy, could you maybe put that task list up?
Yeah.
I was going to send this just to your email and ask you to respond, but I thought a little bit of chit-chat about it would help a little bit.
You bet.
Being the anal retentive person I am, I like to be well-planned, as you know. So as we move towards our picnic time, obviously there's a lot of tasks that need to be done. And I've had a couple of comments back that I seem to be the only one that's got the big picture. So I wanted to take a minute to share with you today. First of all, the invitations. We tried to start earlier this time than we did for our Christmas party, and we still are behind the eight ball. We have got part of our Save the Date invitations, and I brought an invitation, of course, for everybody here so that you know that obviously you're invited. This is the nicely copied one. They already have their copy. But I did send out the guest list to you because, of course, our vision is to come together with other parks advisories and park professionals and just have a play date with them to enjoy getting to know each other, because there's certainly no dispute about the fact that if you know each other, you get along because you've got a personal connection and you can accomplish more at work. And even though we're not paid, we still do some work, right? But from the professional standpoint too, as we invite some of our staff people, we form a better connection with them, and we definitely work with them. And they also get the win that they get to know us, because we get a quick chit-chat at one of these meetings, and no real strong connection a lot of times. So this is really, and I know that we want to have a little discussion around the speeches and stuff today, but it is primarily a play date, and that's what I've been doing. I've gone to the Washougal Parks Advisory and taken them their invitations, and I've essentially said, we'd like to get to know you. Please come and play with us. And I have to tell you that the response was outstanding. And then they saw the date, and they said, aha, this is the date of the Camas Festival. And we're obligated to assist our friends at Camas with this. And then there were two people on the board said, I haven't signed up for anything. I'm going to this. So we do have two of their members that have said they're going to come. But just across the board, all of the email connections I've made to attend the various meetings have brought back some really good responses. Interesting note, Washougal didn't make quorum for their meeting. I was slated to go to Ridgefields. They didn't meet quorum and didn't hold their meeting at all. But I had some email connections back and forth. And Elizabeth Decker said, you know what? We actually have been talking about doing exactly this same thing. So what I said to her was, you know, if you guys are still thinking you'd like to do it, we'd love to have co-hosts. Mm-hmm. So I extended that invite to them. Now, at this late date, don't know
That's
if they'll
Ridgefield.
Jump on.
Huh? That's Ridgefield.
Ridgefield, Parks Advisory. Slated to go to Battlegrounds on Tuesday after your intertwine thing. And then, are you? I don't know if you're still on board for Wednesday with Pratt, but if not, Jamie's going to be there as well.
Well, I'll be there also.
So it's the whole idea that this is a personal extension of an invitation. And folks, I've sent you the guest list and asked, number one, are there any parks type areas that you're involved in? Like, I think Melotta added some from Friends of Clark County, a couple of individuals. She said she was going to bring me that list. And a couple from the Intertwine, she said, that should be there. Mm-hmm. I know that Gene Akers from Conservation Texas is going to make it. That's a professional group.
And but, she's also on the Urban Forester,
yeah.
So she can get that connection
yeah.
going.
So we do want to take a minute, because I've gotten no feedback on this list. And the other thing is, you know, I'm running as fast as I can, folks. But to make this personal connection, taking one of these and handing it to someone and saying, hi, I'm inviting you to come join us. Okay, come play with us. The response is going to be a lot better. You know, because let's face it, it's a Saturday. So enough on that. Take a minute to look at that list. Have we missed anybody that we should invite? And number two, who on that list do you see at a meeting or know that you can help get these out? I've got copies of these in my briefcase. So if you take a look at the list, or I'll leave extras with Bill's office as I did with the begging slips.
You know, I was just thinking, Barbara, we've got that Trail Summit meeting coming up next Tuesday. It might be a good opportunity just to leave out
at the Intertwine, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I planned on bringing some.
Perfect.
And I know Melotta's going to be there too, and we're going to be looking and chatting them up, and anybody else that's there can help.
Yes.
But this is what I'm saying, is that getting that warm handshake, I'm inviting you to come play with me, seems to just elicit a wonderful response. They all laugh. But I digress. Going on, you've also said, okay, that's so I've asked you to revisit the list. And
so can you do you have a list of who is actually coming at this point? I'd rather not.
Oh, no, we have not got, we did not send RSVPs out.
Oh, okay, so we're
That's the next step. This is a phased approach. The first is, save that date on your calendar. That's what this is. Okay, the next is an electronic invite. It says it right on there. That you, this is not your actual invitation. You will get an invite to the event with all of the specifics. Please respond to it so that we can let the system count how many kids, how many adults to expect. So we won't get that. Although I have gotten some feedback from various people, like Kelly is going to be in Thermalopolis for his 50th class reunion, because I was going to ask him to lead the hike. I think I'm going to ask Jean. She'd be a great one.
Yeah, she'd love that.
But that's, I digress. Okay, so the next thing is, everybody says, okay, you've asked me to go beg, but you haven't asked me what to beg for, and I have sent out the list of what we've got. And the bottom line is that we beg, but we're not picky. Here's what we envision. We want to feed the masses. We would like to have hot dogs, hamburgers, baked beans, a pasta salad, which has the oil-based dressing instead of the mayo, so we don't have to worry, a green salad, potato chips, fresh fruit, pie, cake, and hopefully snow cones. If somebody says,
picky.
I'll give you...
I'm
give
just
you,
saying, Barb.
Huh?
That's sounding kind of picky.
No, no. That's you asked me what my vision is.
Okay. This is your vision. Okay.
Yeah, but because people want details. What is it you think you want?
Got it.
We want to have stuff that will accommodate the gluten-free. We need to remember to get gluten-free buns, for example.
Okay, and if someone said, how much do you want of this? What would we tell them?
Well, at the best guess, we're saying we're expecting about 300. Okay?
So up to 300.
Well, no, it might be more, it might be less, you know? You've got the same look at the globe as I do, dear.
Okay.
You know, all we can do is extend the invite. And then, of course, there's always the whole issue of holding the masses back. Because when there's free hamburgers, everybody in the park will come running, right? And I've got the thing over here to show you. So on this picnic fair, we've got the hot dogs. I'm not quite sure on the hamburgers. I think we might have 100 from Safeways, but I haven't got it in writing. The buns, Franz, we got them down to 50 cents, but they can't donate direct. But, you know, the cash donations that we get are going to take care of these things. Corwin said no on the sodas. I'm going back out there in person and just say, what's the best price you can give me, and maybe do a little more begging, because they do only online for their stuff now. When we went in person, they were always very supportive. The other salads we don't have covered yet, the potato chips. Jay just said he might have an in. Over at Frito-Lay, because we haven't been able to get our toe through the door. We've left voicemails. But if you don't have an employee to get you through the door, it's hard to get a donation. So with that, we're also trying to work. AJ is working on trying to get in at Kettle Chips.
Can I ask, if we were able to find a donation, what do we tell them? Do we say, deliver it to me, I'll bring it to
No, AJ's no, you'll see on my task list up there that I'm assembling a list of what needs to be done. One of the things is pick up the donations, and then we ask for it to be ready on. For example, Chuck's is giving us 3 cases of fruit. I asked her, could we pick it up the day before, because I know they're closed Saturday, and she said that would be fine. It would be at the customers, and I send them a letter. When you go out to do your begging, take a minute to just read this. Because the key thing, when you get a donation, they want to know what's in it for me. We laid out what's in it for me down here for them.
Okay, where do we get one of those?
There's a stack of them at Bill's office. I have some in my briefcase.
Okay, I need one today.
Okay, I'll be glad to give you one.
You need to know what to give them, when to get it, and how to get it where it needs
yes,
to be,
and so
then
I
can make an ask.
Yeah, so once somebody says to you, I'll give you this, I always follow up with, thank you for your generous donation of blah, blah, blah. Here's who's going to pick it up, and here's who's authorized to pick it up.
Oh, because if my neighbor, he works for Hormel, so I'm just going to ask him for stuff. And they'll see whatever he has excess of,
There you go.
That's, I just need to know what day, and then I can take it wherever, or if he is out and about, he can take it wherever.
Oh, there you go. Super duper. Yeah.
I won't need to be that formal.
Yeah. Hormel. Yeah, if Hormel wants to give us a bunch of lunch meat, we can get some bread, maybe from Jimmy John.
They have everything you can think of.
I was thinking 100
Jimmy constantly has stuff that he's like, I don't have time to make this anymore.
Yeah, well, that's the whole attitude is that we go in the door with one thing in mind, and then we take what they're willing to give us. Like we went down to the pie shop, and we asked for 10 pies, they gave us 2. That's okay, we go to the next one. But we want to get desserts, and it doesn't matter, a mishmash variety of this and that from various places. So that's the whole, you hit the concept right on the head there. So we've got a list of what we've got so far. And I got that out in the shared web space that I sent y'all, and I try to keep that updated on a daily basis. And it's looking really promising as far as us being able to pull this off without having to dig in our own pockets or go home and cook.
So what can we do, what can we tell people who are willing to give us things to sponsor? Are we going to put their name on a banner or?
Okay, let me go through the vision of the day, and that'll help you, okay? So you want to get a vision of the day. The vision of the day, I see. First of all, number one, we need to plan on being there. Melotta says at least 2 hours early. I put it an hour and a half for setup. She said I wasn't being realistic. I don't know. So I put it there. I stopped and got donuts and coffee donated for you workers when you come early to do that.
So you want to start at 10?
I'm thinking... I wanted to sound out the group, how fast do you run? I don't walk very fast. So I definitely will be there by 9:30 or 10.
Okay. Keep in mind, Barbara, just weather will affect how early the park gets really busy.
Yep.
And how crowded the parking lot is and all that stuff.
So exactly.
Yeah.
And so on deck, the first thing I see as you come in is that we need to have traffic directors. Now, I'm working with the Clark County Board of Realtors. They're maybe going to make a big donation for us. If they do, they want to come and attend the event and wear their t-shirts. I said, that's fine, but no soliciting. No selling. You can wear your t-shirts and glad hand, but no selling. They said that would be...
Who did you talk to there?
Jeff Guion, and he's taken it to the board. The board has to vote on it. Any rate, if they're there, they'll do it. But Melotta is also working on getting the juvenile justice kids there, and these people can help with them. The juvenile justice kids are great at doing whatever you tell them to do, and then you have to kind of monitor them. You can't just have them do it on their own.
Starts around short times.
Oh, okay. We need to have a team. As you come into the park, there will be a large billboard. Jamie's working on the design with me. And on it, it will have, welcome to the event. I've asked you for ideas on names. So far, I've had to give it the name Picnic in the Park. Picnic in the Park with Pab. Whatever, you know.
Done.
Sounds good to me.
Well, because when you put in for grants, it wants to know the name of the event. But it'll have the name of the event. It will have an acknowledgement for our sponsors right there as you enter the park. You'll notice down here on this little blue sheet, that it points out to them that while we may be only having 300 participants, that what we've got is over 1,000 visitors to the park that will see this as they enter the park. Okay. Also, it will have on it a little map layout of the park and where our activities are going to be. Next is your host and hostess table. I think that we want to glad hand people as they come in and say, "We're glad you came." And I see maybe half-hour rotations there, but that two people should be there, and it's a limited amount of time. You'll see up here, I put X's where I think the time is that we're going to need for various activities. Okay? At this desk, you will check off their name on the guest list. You will give them a wristband, because once they know there's free food, everybody's going to come for it. And I don't know how to divide... 100 hamburgers into 500. So, the wristbands, you'll give them a wristband, you'll give them a name tag, and then you'll give them a raffle, which I don't have yet. I can't use the word raffle either. because that's apparently against the law. Door prize ticket.
There you go.
Yeah. And we're going to use the door prizes. Melotta will be calling them off, depending upon how many we get, every 15 minutes to a half hour throughout the day. It encourages people to stay a little longer. Okay, the next thing you'll see is, now, on the host and hostess table, you'll see that after the first hour, I move it over closer to our event from the entrance way, so that one person can kind of monitor it while we're eating and stuff and watch for people. The next thing is we're going to have a large display board with the times and stuff of the various games that Jay and Marty are going to put together for us. We have a playground specialist who's doing that. She's also bringing a paramedic for the day with her. You never know. Then we have, the big thing is going to be the setup of the areas, and I've got various things there. We need someone to heist stuff from the parking lot down to the area. All the stuff that comes in when we bring all the burgers and whatever. Bill has got some coolers. Dave has some, etc. You're bringing the PA system, setting chalk lines. We've got games so far. Well, you'll see the list. Look at the list on the invite. There's a couple of others. They're bringing the fishing thing on the 4th of July, the little fish pond that the kids fish in and get a little prize. Speaking of which, for the games, we've got magnificent trophies. And we're probably going to buy some ribbons for the people that don't win. We've only got 8 of those, so.
So cute.
Participation.
Then the ending of the day, Bill came up with a great idea to wrap up the day after we cooked and fed and played together with all these different games, that we wrap up the day with a hike of the Salmon Creek Trail. Wonderful way to expose people to the park.
Greenway.
Yep.
Yeah. Not necessarily the trail, right? Because you'd have to drive up. Is it all connected?
It connects.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It connects.
Yeah, the trail actually starts right there at the entrance of the park and goes all the way to 36th Ave.
Okay. Oh, great. Yes. Okay, I'm in a different park. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, and so then we may also need people.
Like, what?
Yeah.
How are you going to get people from that park to this park?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so there's a whole lot of setup activities in there. There's a couple that are assigned, either because they've told me they want to do it, or because I think they're a match and they have now agreed that they're a match. I didn't want to just go out and assign, you get to do this and you get to do this. I will send this to you in email. I'd like you to pick where your talents lie. Like, I can't carry nothing, folks, I'm sorry. I bring my walker and I'll push it down there, but I kind of figure I'm going to make sure you're all on task.
But if we all show up at 9 or 10, like,
we got plenty of work to do.
Well,
we got tables
I'm
to set
thinking,
up.
Like, set up. Let's say I say I'm going to do, I don't know, one of the other things. Well, if I'm there at 9 or 10, I'll help set up until I have to do the other thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, most of our work is going to be set up and tear down. Mm-hmm. You know, other than Bill who's going to be doing the cooking, because one person will need to make sure that we keep the food table filled.
We need to wrap up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just think some of that will happen as we're doing.
Yeah. So, wrap up, he says. All right. Next team meeting is going to be, I think, the 20th. You haven't responded to the doodle poll, so it's hard for me to tell. I think we've got some real strong neighbors. Yeah, some of you have. Not,
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah, no. Some of you have. But some haven't, and so I don't know. But so far, and I have to say, Phillida NA, they're helping us model the exact partnerships that we want to set up with other organizations, along with Minnehaha Neighborhood Association is there. And, well, they're not as large, but they've got a couple of members there helping us too. So please come. We need to go through. We need to get the details together and start rolling this up.
June 20, what time did you say?
7 o'clock. Yeah, I sent out a doodle poll with about 6 different dates on it.
7 p.m.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was one of the days you couldn't make it, Candace.
I'll try.
It was where the majority could come.
Okay.
So we're moving forward. It's looking good.
Where at on the 20th? at 7 p.m.
Oh, I don't have that yet because I just got the response and made a call yesterday to the Heritage Farm. The Farm Bureau is there, but she says they never show up for their meetings anymore. She would check to see if they wanted to still use the room and would get back to me. So it will probably be Heritage Farm. If not, I'll locate another site. Anyway, so lots of good, happy things happening with this, folks.
Awesome.
When you get this in your email, let me know where you plug in. You can see it's 2 pages long. There's lots of things to do, but okay, if we don't plan it, we plan to fail.
So 2 big takeaways are go out there and solicit, not in that way, in the solicit for food. And
look at the guest list.
To-do list.
And the next and one. Look, first one is look at the guest list. If you can put one of these in somebody's hand with a smile and say, come play with us. I can't make it to everybody and I don't want to leave them out.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
I talked as fast as I could, too.
You did good.
Too much to cover.
Field trip, Bill.
Field trip, yes. And first of all, thank you, Jay, for hosting us at Harmony Sports Association.
Sure, that was great.
We had food and everything. That was fantastic. So
that was a fabulous one.
That was nice. Gave us a couple of history and look forward to it. And then we had a good little parking lot session afterwards. Got some things going on that are going to go forth. And so you get the Clash of the Borders coming up here real soon.
24th and 25th of June.
Wow. Yeah, that's 300 teams.
300 teams.
Wow. That's amazing.
Coming in. Yeah, so it's grown.
So Eric is working with our attorney right now to try to get that change made up.
Yes.
So hopefully we can get that going, but we'll see. So
yep.
Just cross our fingers. If nothing else, you know, we can at least be ready for future events.
Right. Right.
Okay. And so. So next month we're talking about going out to Camp Hope. And so that is on the south side of the Lewis River from Lewisville Park. On the east side, so you go just as you come drop down before you get to hit the highway bridge, you take a right and you go down the Roper Road, and that leads you right into Camp Hope. Camp Hope is an old Girl Scout camp that was basically deeded to us back in the 1930s, along with Lewisville Park, as well as the Boy Scout camp that is north and adjacent to Camp Hope. And so, a few years ago, with the help of Counselor Bolt, we got a group of folks in there to take it over for at-risk youth, and they allow, the camp is basically open for anybody who wants to come in there and utilize the site, you know, on a reservation basis. And anyways, they've been really fixing up the place, and I thought it'd be really nice for all of us to go out there and take a look. And so we're in the process of master planning the site right now for future growth. And so we're working with Gene Akers with Conservation Technics on that one. And we're to the point now where we've actually gone to our legal department, and we're taking our next steps to make sure that we're going down the right path, you know, to completion on that. So, but I thought it'd be really nice for us to get out there, take a look, and see it. So, it's really come a long ways since they took it over, because it was a brush patch and everything was in derelict fashion. Because it's been pretty well run down for many years, and now it's actually a usable, functional camp. So,
okay. Sounds awesome.
So if you can all make it, that'd be fantastic.
I'm going to have to RSVP no right now. I'll be not in town.
I'm also out of town.
Okay.
I'll make it.
All right. Sounds great.
Fifth balances.
Okay.
So those are in the packet.
In the packet. Okay.
And these are as of the end of April, because May hasn't closed yet.
We usually get the previous month, right around the 22nd of the following month.
Yeah.
We wait for things to close.
The month usually closes anywhere from the 10th.
So if we want to look at first PIF balances. So this is on our parks grid, and basically it is the very top line is our old acquisition of land fund. That's a frozen account. So the only thing it's doing right now is generating some interest, but you can see how much money we've got in these PIF districts. So we got money to buy property, and that's what Jeremy and I have been diligently trying to do. So that which leads us to the concurrency piece. But the second line down is park development. That is also a frozen account. And so what money was collected prior to March of 2014 was going into both acquisition and development. After March of 2014, the county councilors voted to combine the counts, which is the third line. So any monies that we're collecting in PIF go into the third line, and that is an active account. So once we spend out the acquisition and the development components, those go away. So as you can kind of see here, in PIF 1, we've got $56,000 left, or $56,372 left. Once I expend that, it's going to go down to zero, and that will go away forever. So, and basically, the city of Vancouver has PIF 1. We don't have any more. We just have some residual cash left in it, so we're going to expend that. So we have, right now, we have PIFs 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. The city of Vancouver has PIFs 1, 2, 3, and 4. So that is that. And so right now, as you look down the list, we have Tower Crest, which is underneath PIF 7. And we have Sorensen Park, which is under PIF 9. And those two parks are slated to be built this year. In fact, they're going out to bid. I think they actually went out to bid already.
Have we got a response on 10's property yet?
Yes, we have a signed option agreement.
Yeah, but I mean, did it pass the...
No, not yet. Not yet. We certain things we got to do to make it happen. As long as we have that signed option agreement,
yeah, I know.
We're okay to
it
go.
It holds it, but it's,
yeah.
As it drags out, I start sweating.
We've actually negotiated the deal with the buyer.
Yeah.
And they have agreed. And so now it's a matter of going through the process, getting the staff report to the board, and getting that presented and passed, and then we'll go into escrow.
When I was at the budget meeting, or the comp plan meeting recently, I chatted with Julie Olson afterwards, because it wasn't public speaking. Remember to get the 21st on your agenda, because it doesn't hurt for us to speak up. We'll be able to talk again.
There is no speaking on the 21st. On the 21st, it's just about listening for deliberation.
I thought that was... Did that change? Because Lori told me the 21st.
I think that they might allow public testimony.
Because that's what they said at the work session. Any rate, I'll get the specifics out to you in email. I'll verify it first. But one of the mindsets that kind of bothered me a little bit was when I was, you know, telling her that we were very much in support, and that while everybody was concerned about the huge hike. Anyway, you know what I said. Her response was that the counselors, in looking at it, weren't so much worried about getting those replenished, because what good does it do for you to acquire land when you have no money to maintain it? So I briefly told her once again, gave her the vision of PIF District 10, mm-hmm. and the fact that there's no land left, so you need to acquire it while it's available, number one. And number two, that our bond covers maintenance for unincorporated Clark County. I'm not sure that that vision or understanding is clear yet, because if they're looking at holding back and saying we've got, you know, we don't want to buy and acquire any more land if we can't maintain it, well,
right.
So I'm concerned about that.
Yes, and I know that they are quite concerned about the PIF increase overall.
Yeah.
And I was fully expecting the Planning Commission to come up with an alternative rollout plan that's a little less aggressive. But they didn't do that.
No.
They didn't talk about it, and it was voted or passed 4-3. And I did have a quick chat also with Councillor Olson out at the big paddle last Saturday, and she was asking if she said that she would probably be coming up with something at the board deliberation, but she also talked about possibly delaying this until after this comp plan was passed. Well.
But the delays are going to kill us, and that's where we need to get there, and we need to be verbal and out there, folks, because they need to get a strong understanding that if they do that we end up in 5 years in exactly the position we are now, which is looking at another huge increase that needs to take place.
Right.
And then the same concerns will be there. Sometimes you just have to rip the Band-Aid off.
Mm-hmm. On that note...
Yes.
Staff reports that are being issued from community development still break up acquisition and development. So developers are seeing this. They're seeing all this money in acquisition and a large percentage of what they're paying is supposedly based on that staff report going to acquisition still.
Oh, really?
So it'd be nice if community development could get on board and change their language. So that, okay. I mean, that's just more, that's more reason for them to not be on board.
Good point.
So, okay. And I just got a staff report yesterday. It's the same way. So.
So it shows them separately?
Splits them up and tells you how much of each.
Oh, great.
Oh. The other big argument that I heard Planning Commission express wasn't a big one. It was one person in particular who was, I believe, a construction advocate. There is some level of frustration, which is not our issue, but that developers who are developing for business, not residential, are getting fee waivers.
Yes.
So they're not, so the industry, business and otherwise, are not paying anything for PIF and for TIF. And so, you know, it feels like it's all being shift on the homeowners and the developers, really the developers, because new homes, to fulfill all of the park's need. Well, I would tend to agree that it looks just like that. So if there is some sense around, hey, once industry starts paying part of their fair share, you know, then we're, you know, let's talk. But right now it looks like it's like, hey, developers, we want you to pay it all and now pay a hike. And it doesn't come across right. So I think that's also another concern that's somewhat out of our control.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what the final outcome will be. And unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town, so I won't be at that meeting myself. And so, with any luck, I'll be able to chat with some folks before, you know, they go to that. So we'll see.
Well,
don't
you think it's going to get pulled?
What's that?
Don't you think
it's going to pull? It could. It may not, but it could. It depends on what the other counselors have to say about it. So.
Really hope they don't.
I've also heard that with the comp plan, that even though they're going to get that wrapped up this year by the end of the month, they fully intend to go open it back up again this next year and take another look at it and make some revisions as needed. Because there's a lot of public testimony that's come forth on both sides of just about every, you know, topic out there. So they realize there's not enough time to make those sort of revisions. That's the one I've heard on some of the meetings that I've attended.
Yeah. So, and if it gets pulled, I mean, that's the good part is it's not going to be 6 years before we can address it.
Right. Okay, so moving on to concurrency real quickly. And so you can see where we're at here on the concurrency sheet. So we have PIFs 5 through 10. Well, actually, PIFs 5, 6, 8 and 10, where it goes red is the month that we're in that we enter concurrency. The one of most concern, of course, is PIF 10, which expired just this last month at the end of May. But we do have a option purchase agreement, and we also have. Did they sign a deed also?
Or the agent took it to the family to sign.
That's right. They're signing that right now as we speak. And so we actually have a sale in progress right now, which helps keep us qualified and out of concurrency. So with any luck, we should have that wrapped up. I'm thinking we're going to probably put in front of the board on July 12th, that's second Tuesday of July. I'm not sure if that's... of July?
June.
Oh, okay. Even sooner than.
Bill's 12th.
Okay. Okay, so the 28th of June is when we should have that piece of property hopefully approved and then going towards escrow. On PIF District number 6, that is that's the Hill property, and that is the Prairie Ball Fields. And so we are moving forward to that. Right now we're doing an environmental study on that site just to make sure that it comes out clean. Once that's done, then we'll get the deed signed and move that to consent, and that is on July 12th, right?
Yeah.
We have to postpone it. The original plan was June 28th, but that environmental assessment won't be done just yet.
I hope that property is expensive, because because we're going to run into a lot of problems.
That's the first time I've ever heard that one, Jennifer.
It's a
10 or 6.
Well, kind of both. I'm really hoping they're really expensive properties.
About
or we got to find another piece.
$750,000 is the amount, so that's going to take us all the way down to October of 19.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that'll be good. We're rocking
okay.
it then.
I guess yeah. that's for a while.
October of 19.
Yeah, yes. 19.
Oh, yeah, we're in good shape then.
So in PIF 8, that's called the Ferrullo Purchase, and that one is the southwest of Hazeldale Community Park. And we are ready to take that one to the board on the 28th as well, I believe, right?
So Drive Ferrullo and Swanson, I think, is the 28th.
Tribal?
We're going to push out.
Right. Okay.
I didn't quite hear that.
So basically on the 28th, we're going to take the PIF 10 district property and the PIF 8 district property. And we also have the Swanson gift that was given to us. That's just right down here, the 33 acres. When Elizabeth Swanson passed, she had it in the trust that gave us that property. We're gonna bring that in front of the board as well on the 28th. So the three properties going in on 28th, and then the PIF 6, which is the Prairie Fields, that'll be July 12th, right?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Fingers crossed.
I didn't know if we could settle on a date, but yeah.
Okay. Well, approximately July 12th, the second week of July on that Tuesday. PIF 5, we've been meeting with different sellers, and we're trying to pinpoint a piece of property that we can find. Looks like September on this one, isn't it? I thought it was January.
Which one?
PIF 5.
Yeah.
That's September is when it goes into concurrency. So we've talked to two different sellers now, and we have not locked in on anything as of yet, so that's a concern. And then, of course, we have, that's it, really, essentially, that's in the immediate term. So if we can get these four properties purchased, you know, in due time, we should be in good shape.
Cool.
So.
It works.
Any questions?
Doesn't sound like it. Keep moving on to Swanson property.
The Swanson property. Are you guys familiar with the Swanson? I can.
Which one? Just the one that's right down.
Yeah, that's
Park
that one.
78.
You went through that with this.
Yes, yeah. But I don't think I've passed for any action by the board on this. And so.
But that's okay. I'll walk it yeah. Oh yeah.
Just a real brief look at it.
I like this.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's that road you said recently. Get 78th Street, Patton Parkway, Green Meadows Golf Course. Here's the Swanson property. And so that is being gifted to us. On the property is a house, a barn, and a couple of other home buildings. I believe that the house was actually built before 1900. Nothing's on the historical registry, but Elizabeth Swanson wanted us to have the property and to turn it into a wildlife refuge, but also allowing for passive recreation, which means a trail. We can put a parking lot in right here. It's just one way of parking anywhere else, but we can have a trail that surrounds the property, and then, of course, we'll be planting it out to promote habitat, with the exception of coyotes and raccoons.
So,
that was pretty specific.
That's awesome that she put that in there.
Yes.
She wants raccoons.
So, no raccoons or no coyotes.
So
I agree.
The
put a toll gate in.
It's actually called Curtain Springs, and from the date that the property becomes ours, we have 30 days to take to basically control all of the noxious weeds on the property. That's contractually. That shouldn't be a problem. And then we have 3 years to do something with the property, as in, you know, turn it into that, into a passive type park setting with wildlife refuge components.
And
one thing we're also going to do, and we're meeting with the attorney. Oh, we actually met with them already, and we're getting their input. But we're going to do something to talk about the property, its historical value, to talk about the Swanson family, to memorialize the gift that they gave us. And so we'll probably be putting some kind of a viewpoint in somewhere along here, probably up on a higher ridge, a viewpoint with some nice signs that basically talk about the family and the property and
that's
the history.
Great.
So luckily we do have some documentation on the history of the site, so that shouldn't be too hard to tackle.
Will we be able to keep the barn and some of the things? Are they in disrepair or are they pretty good?
It really depends on if we can find a use for it and what kind of condition the barn is in. I've not set foot on the property yet.
That barn is rough. The house, it's not.
Yeah, so you've been out there?
That barn's rough.
Okay. So the barn may have to come down.
The barn maybe not.
But the house maybe no barn dances. Huh?
Yeah, the barn doesn't look sick.
No more hitting golf balls across the street.
But you never know.
No. So the one thing I was going to ask of this board is to get your support to move forward with staff report to accept the gift.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So you want to make a motion?
I make a motion to move forward with asking the board.
To accept the property.
To accept the property.
Seconded. Wait, I'm chair.
You're chair.
Somebody else second.
I'll second.
Thank you. Moved and seconded to recommend accepting the Swanson property. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The rest of you aren't allowed to talk. Moving on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So one quick question. In this acquisition that...
Yes.
Annexation that Vancouver just came out and talked to Minnehaha about,
mm-hmm.
Does it engulf this?
Well, what Vancouver is trying to, well, I hate
it's
to use
so
the term.
It's so close to Costco, and I know they're going after Costco.
They're essentially going after Costco and the whole Home Depot complex.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if they're actually going to reach out and grab the land around
okay.
it. I think they're just
no going worries. After I just was curious if you knew.
I think they're just going after the commercial piece right now.
Yeah.
If in the event that they were to reach out, we would probably have an opportunity to say, if you want it, you can have it, or we can hang on to it. We don't have to give it to them as a part of the annexation.
Okay.
The only parks that we have to give to them on annexation are the original 36 that were passed in the levy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. That's good to know. Thanks.
Yes.
All right. REIT discussion.
So back in the fall supplemental, Bill was able to work his magic and get a decision package passed dedicating REIT funds, real estate excise tax, to in the amount of $290,000 for capital repair and maintenance projects. So in that list, in the decision package, we identified projects that we knew of that needed immediate attention. And that's all those projects listed underneath projects approved in fall supplemental, with the exception of this one, there's a miscommunication. So with the exception of that one, all these were approved. The other component of capital repair projects are we can't anticipate all the failures out there of our structures and capital items. So there's always unanticipated projects that pop up. Those are those down here that we are working on or have completed. And so this $290,000 is just for 2016. We're working to see if we can get it to be ongoing. And then just a couple examples of projects that we've done. This is the Lucia Falls restroom. As you can see, we have a nice garden.
It's a green room.
Rain garden.
I appreciate the conservation efforts we're doing out there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of dry rot behind these. I don't know when this was built, but I imagine this is 30, 40 years old. It's in rough shape. So we went in and used our capital repair funds to utilize them to redo this. And this is what it looks like now.
Where'd the green roof go?
It's still green.
It's still green.
That's awesome. Good job.
Yeah. We need to have a definition.
Yes, I guess we need a definition.
So this just kind of points out how badly we need these funds. Another one was shelter roofs in Louisville. There's a lot of trees surrounding these shelters, and it takes a toll on these roofs. And they start to leak, rot, whatnot, and need replaced. And so we replaced two shelter roofs so far, Maple and Ponderosa in Louisville, with cedar shake.
Yep.
Last time we went through the Elders shelter, repair Cedar Shade with some of the historical register required. So we went ahead and did that anyways on these. They turned out pretty good.
They're beautiful.
And then the other one was the road going out to what we call the island section. It was a bumpy ride out there, to say the least. And then you had ponding issues with water, didn't run off real well. Needed a lot of attention. This one actually been on our list identified for years. We finally bit the bullet and gave it a new layover.
All right.
And so now you have a nice smooth ride out to those shelters. And that project turned out pretty good too, so.
That's fantastic.
That's a quick recap of our program. Any questions?
So 290 is what they identified and earmarked to us this year.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
As a one-time?
We actually gave them a list of close to, I think it was 900,000 or million, and it was pared down. We had prioritized those for projects that priority one, safety, liability type projects. And then from going back and forth, communications with the budget office, this is the list that went through and was approved.
So this is a one-time usage of REIT funds, which is the first time Parks has had REIT funds in quite a few years now. And so I was really happy to see that we got this decision package, which opened the doors for us to get our hands on REIT again. And so I'm going to write another decision package again for 2017 and 18 and ask for more funding. And so REIT has been bringing in extra funds over and above what the anticipated amount was. And so I think some of us heard that at board session where the councilors were looking at ways that we could possibly try to expend some of that on a trail project or something like that. But we definitely want to try to preserve some for our regional parks for capital repairs to keep all of our infrastructure in good shape. But we consider capital repair as anything over $5,000 typically, so it's not nailing our already tight maintenance budgets. So.
That is awesome. Okay, cool.
Thank you,
Jeremy. Nice work.
Although I kind of like that old roof. It reminds me of my family's place over in England. They plant their roofs like that.
Well, you start to see those over in Portland. I don't know what they call those, but they're green roofs, yeah. Yeah.
Living walls.
Yeah, they plant a bunch of vegetation.
However, that wasn't planned to go that route.
So. Yeah.
There is some structural and some vapor barrier stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't probably think about that 30 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. But their water is a gross.
It's very organic.
Idea.
Moving along to Intertwine then. Sherry? See you, Sherry?
Yeah.
Hi, Sherry. I'm John. Nice to meet you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sherry Larson. Been in one or two PAD meetings before, so you may or may not see my face. Or I might look like somebody completely different. I love how I thought when I got here. This is a hot off the press agenda for our Intertwine Trails Summit that we're going to have on next Tuesday, right here in this room from 2 to 5. Hope that you all can come. We still have a few spots left, but we do have about 85 people registered already to come. So that's
in this
awesome.
Room.
Yeah, in this room,
it's going to be cozy.
116 is the capacity according to the sign.
It's going
to
be cozy. Wow, that's good turnout.
We've got some good. I know it's a good turnout. Nice. And today is the last day to RSVP. So please. Take just a second to do that.
That's awesome. 85 people.
Yeah.
Where are they coming from? Do you know?
All
they
just, over. Okay. Clark County, some from Portland.
Great.
We've got like good representation from lots of different organizations. Okay, so it's just the agenda. I just came in to kind of give you all a personal update. Or invite. So
We've got several people lined up, but it's just kind of getting together to talk about our regional trails and what we hope they can achieve in the future. Trying to build some of those relationship, collaborative partnerships that's important and that's identified in the PROS plan as being priority. So we've got just a little about the agenda. We've got Ryan O'Hario speaking from the Washington Trails Association to kind of welcome us for the day. And then David Cohen, the program manager for the Intertwine, who I've been working closely with to pull this together. Then we're gonna have a quick updates from different jurisdictions. The cities and courts in Clark County have heard confirmations from most of them. So, and we're still getting that today. So we're pulling the last touches today. And then we're gonna hear some updates from everyone, and then we're gonna kinda do a little discussions about barriers and opportunities to working together and what is the perception for what's holding us back and what are the opportunities for pulling those types of projects together. Then we're going to get a little presentation from Dan Miller, who's with the National Park Service. Dan represents the Rivers, Trails, and Conservation Assistance Program. It's a federal grant program. The deadline for the RTCA grant is June 30th, and we hope to be able to apply for that if we can get our required letters of commitment. So we need at least three from stakeholders as well as partners. So we're hoping to achieve that from our Trails Summit. And then Bill's gonna talk a little bit about the Lewis and Clark Greenway project that's been identified in some of your documents already. So that's the one that we're hoping to use as a pilot project in our grant application. The grant is not a funding grant to put the project together. What it is, it's a community assistance, technical assistance grant, and it will help us develop a master plan to put together this Lewis and Clark Greenway trail project. So that's the regional project that we're hoping to use as a pilot, and that we will be applying for the community assistance grant.
So the Lewis and Clark Greenway, is that the refuge to refuge?
Or yes. Yeah, oh. Yeah. Whenever I'm to Parks
now it's got a name.
Refuge
now
to
it's
refuge,
got a name.
But there's actually a plan that was created back in 2010. It's the same leg of the trail, and that's called the Lewis and Clark Greenway Trail. And talking to the Richfield folks, they want that trail to continue on past the refuge and up into Abrams Park and then beyond. And so it just makes sense to rename it as what it was originally named, the Lewis and Clark Trail. So
awesome.
The Lewis and Clark Trail is actually a National Historic Trail. And so it goes across the country, and this is our chunk of it. So there is national interest in improving that trail and in and maintaining that trail. So that's one of the reasons that the National Park Service is interested, not just because it's a regional effort, but because it is connected to the larger national trail. And then, so we're gonna talk about that and a little bit more about other regional trails, kind of just doing a lot of networking with people, pulling together and trying to solidify that some of those partnerships that could be stronger than they are now. And that's about it. We're gonna have plenty of time for conversations though, so that's the most important thing. Does anybody have questions?
Do you have the city there?
The city
of Vancouver.
We have multiple cities.
It runs
there.
Right through the city of Vancouver, so I'm hoping they have
we've tried. So we're trying.
I do have someone from the city of Vancouver that has RSVP'd already. However, we did not get an invite except our invitation was not accepted by the city of Vancouver Parks and Recs department. So,
Julie or staff are not coming. Anyone from staff? From Julie's staff?
We're hoping that Terry Snyder might be able to come, but I don't know if he's coming or not. But I think there's somebody coming from
Ty
the city
Stover
council. Ty Stover's coming.
Is coming. And that's all we have registered from the city of Vancouver at this point.
So, and their summit is held on what day?
It's next Tuesday from 2 to 5.
The next meeting is Wednesday. I was going to just saying, maybe upon Wednesday is the day after your meeting, though, is the problem. Like, we ask, because they have a...
So, but we have reached out to them, and you know, that's definitely reason to talk about it and try to build some of these relationships back up. And so we're partnering with the Intertwine to help do that. They've got some, you know, some of the folks from the city of Vancouver have attended the Intertwine events, so we're hoping to
Is the connection through that trail, is that go along the new waterfront development piece?
Right,
yeah, so it's part of the trail.
Yeah, exactly.
What is
the deal?
What?
It basically goes, so the city, I mean, right now they got the trail all the way down to Whitman Park, and all the way down to that new development that they're at right now. So the city's got they're a big player in this. And then we need to have them connect into the Port of Vancouver, and then also connect to Camas, which then connects into the Port of Camas, Washougal.
You know, it's the same challenge. It's, you know, the piece of waterfront in front of Kelly's, the Jane Weber Arboretum, is part of this trail, too.
Yes.
Or it's a gap if they don't grab it.
And there's actually alignment that's already been designed through that, along and the entire Evergreen Highway.
Yeah, and there's a lot of question.
Yeah, Ty Tober actually is a former Philadelphia Neighborhood Association board member. And so I told him that he better come and start those bridges building. So there are a couple of other county, excuse me, city councilors that I could approach. However, I think some of you know some of them as well, so maybe it'd be good if you could call them.
I'll reach out to Alicia.
Thank you, Miletta.
So anyway, part of the grant that will help us with the master plan will identify those key links in between the cities and port areas and where those sections are that we'll need to pull it together.
Yeah. I think Bill's got a lot of that.
Okay, anybody else have questions?
Do you have any other organizations that you need a last minute reach out to?
We're doing pretty good. Battleground will be there, Ridgefield will be there, Camas, Washougal.
Port of Vancouver?
Port of Vancouver hadn't responded to my reach out, so I'm not sure if they
port
got it. Would you like to check in with, it was Juliana?
Marla, she's a little bit busy right now.
But
we can definitely.
If you want to reach out, I have not heard from the Port of Vancouver. David Cohen is pulling together the master presentation, so we're incorporating slides into that. And then, did you hear from Kim Noah?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, so Camas, Washougal, and Port of are together and good.
It's all good.
Are you working with Port of Vancouver or Port of Camas, Washougal?
I'm Port of Camas, Washougal, but
you're
being a port commissioner, I can call others.
Yeah, who would we ask if we were able to get city people to sort of sit up and want to attend? Who can we have them contact directly? Can we have them maybe contact you?
Sure.
Is this the number to reach you at?
No. No, that's David Cohen. They could contact him. Okay. They could also go to the Intertwine Alliance website. There's a RSVP link and information about the Trail Summit is on the Intertwine's webpage.
Is that coming down today, Sherry?
Coming down?
Yeah. Today's the last day to sign up, right, to RSVP?
It is, but I don't know that they would cut it off.
Right.
That is the deadline, but I don't know if the link will go away.
Okay.
Maybe we can just get certainly to attend.
Yeah, people can still come even if they haven't had a chance to RSVP. It just will help us know who's in the room that day, you know, and plan. So.
Yeah, and just I pilfered some stuff from your website. I love the whole concept, and it applies to our picnic too. This is what I took from the Intertwine to share with each of the other PAMs, so that they would be aware and hopefully sign up. I gave them the link.
Great.
So
just to be, and I appreciate you doing that, the more people that can come, the better, obviously. I just want to clarify that I do work for Bill. I'm in Clark County Parks, not the Intertwine. So I just
You were Intertwine. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, no,
I still snitch it from the Intertwine.
David.
Well, because if you read the verbiage, I love it.
It's wonderful.
Common ground.
Yeah.
That's what we're building is common ground.
The Intertwine is excellent organization.
Oh, I thought he said you were from this. Never mind.
Clark County Parks. I'm the program assistant that supports the volunteer program and the facilities program.
We have a picnic we'd like to talk to you about. Then.
Yeah.
We'd like to. Would you like to invite me to your picnic?
Yes, right here.
Yes,
right here. And you'll get me her email on our list.
Oh, this is our, do you need volunteers?
Yes.
7 o'clock on Monday the 21st.
Is hosting this. And one of the things that's really important to us is that staff know that we want to get to know you, so we recognize and know that you're Clark County staff. You're our guest. Be our guest. Come play with us.
So Bill may have told you you have to move.
Can't get volunteers. By the way, we need food.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll get it from Bill.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry.
That's embarrassing. I thought she was intertwined.
Oh, no.
I heard wrong. I'm gonna blame old age.
Bill's hiding knowledge.
Yeah, he hides the good people from us.
No, that's
true. PAP policy. Barbara.
Oh, the attendance policy? Oh, okay. Even though we're still working on the bylaws that say that we'll notify ahead of time and then wait a month before a vote on policy changes, we're using that approach. So we've included in the package here. And do you want to speak to the attendance policy, either Dave or Jennifer, their cohorts?
Sure.
And so that you understand what it is. And then we'll vote not till next time. So you have a whole month to mull it.
So just what we did as a subcommittee is we met and Barb came up with these sort of a template for us to start talking about and getting together what would those, what would the components of a parks board or of our parks system that we would want to ensure everybody had some professional development on as they were on this group or as they were coming onto this group. And as we were thinking about that, one of the key pieces is an attendance policy. And I think I heard Barb say a couple other parks groups didn't meet their numbers, so they couldn't hold their meeting. And I don't think it's uncommon to have that happen, which is unfortunate. It happens city one, and so it doesn't happen here, which is great. I think this is probably the strongest one in the county. But just an understanding of what the expectation is for everyone who's on the board in terms of attendance. So now we have it. So there you go. Anything else you want me to address?
Anything you want to
add? Roll it over.
Yeah, give it a read. And I guess one thing I want to add, and that is, you know, there's a lot that's expected from board members other than attending this meeting. But in the scope of things, folks, this meeting, the attendance policy addresses these meetings. The others, they're important. They're absolutely important. There is nothing more important than this meeting. And that's why when you read in here the attendance policy, it addresses, what term did we use to identify regularly scheduled meetings or something like that. So that's what it is. We think this is the most important time. The others are important. This is the most important. That's why
it's where you're going to vote on the only things and your colleagues, and they're going to expect, you know, if they show up that, oh, shoot, we have a quorum and now we can't.
And we can't
do
any work.
Business. And so then it impacts everybody.
Yes. So if you're wondering why that was the only thing addressed in the attendance policy, that's why. It's because we feel that's the single most important thing we do.
Okay, so this will be on next meeting.
It will be up for a vote on the next meeting, yes. And we're hoping, and it depends upon the work on the picnic, we were hoping to get the other thing done. But if we don't, there's always August, right?
And there are two pages, so make sure and catch the back page. It's not just the front part.
Okay, keeping us moving on to Mr. Clemens.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, how you doing?
I'll come on down here so you can all stare at me.
Good.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I was asked to come and just introduce myself. I am the new community outreach coordinator for Clark County's Office of Public Information and Outreach. I hesitate to use the word replacing, but I'm following Holly Gaia, for those of you who knew her. And the reason that I hesitate to use replacing, because I am actually not in the same position as she is. Her specific title was Neighborhood Outreach Coordinator. And in that role, she focused primarily, not exclusively, on communicating with and liaising to our neighborhood associations in the county. My job is community outreach coordinator, so I guess they're gonna, you know, add three times the work at the same salary.
Scott, we have a picnic we want to talk to you about.
Oh, really?
I think he replaces Holly Gaia on our list. We just haven't got to him yet, so you can give him. You can give him the invite. Since you see him in prison, then.
Indeed. So in addition to continuing our work to, you know, keep the neighborhood associations informed about what's going on and give them the opportunity to weigh in on our decision-making processes, I've been given a bunch of other tasks, some by my immediate superior, the Director of Public Information and Outreach, and some out of the corner office, the Board of Counselors themselves. One is just to improve the amount and the quality of our communication to our existing audiences. Using better use of technology to reach out to the neighborhoods. Quite frankly, right now, a lot of our communication to the neighborhoods is still going to their meetings. But we know that the neighborhoods themselves are using technology to communicate with each other, and we want to be able to tap into that and so be able to provide them more and better communication. I'm a naturally lazy guy. I want to do as much as I can, get as much as I can done with as little effort as I can. So that's one of my jobs. Another very important task I've been given that I think will probably touch much more directly on this board and on parks in general is outreach to underrepresented audiences. And just as one example, a couple of weeks ago, I sat in the Youth Commission's presentation to the County Council. This is a group of middle and high school kids who are already feeling practically disenfranchised, and they can't even vote yet. They're feeling like the county doesn't listen to them. They don't feel like they understand what it is that the county can and will do for them. They don't really understand how they can be involved. And youth is just one of many audiences, I think, out there that we don't do a very good job of talking to and listening to. And so finding ways to do that more effectively is another thing that I have been asked to do. One of the things, I'm supposed to sit down with Sam Kim, County IT Director, and figure out technological ways that we can get youth more involved. But in addition to that, a couple of the county councilors were talking about on the boards and commissions that have a direct impact on youth.
Parks!
Would it be meaningful to have youth representation on these boards and commissions?
Yeah, and we even mentioned that one to them because a couple of them do have youth advisors.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Another task that I, along with others in the office, I shouldn't say that this is like all me, but another task that we have kind of been collectively given is to try and improve not only the amount of information that we're giving, but to tell better stories about what it is we as a county government with our various partners are doing to provide services, to provide value, to provide success to our constituents. That's a big bite to chew on there, but we're gonna sit down and try and figure out exactly how that works. But I think that there's probably a lot of opportunities to talk about projects that we're working on from inception to completion to how good did it work out when we got done doing it. I think that there's some opportunity for us to do that as well. And then finally, and actually this is why I was late to this meeting and I apologize, I was actually sitting in on a decision makers disaster preparedness workshop where they were talking about emergency planning and emergency decision making and emergency communications. And one of my roles is to help the county do a, we have a bare bones crisis communication plan right now. And to use a football analogy, you know, we have a playbook for our team as to what plays it is we're supposed to call, but we don't exactly know who's on the team right now and who's supposed to be playing each position. And so it's my job to kind of take that bare bones crisis communication plan and flesh it out. Plus, and this is maybe getting a little bit too inside sports for you guys, but you know, there have been a lot of this going on between the various emergency management and public information agencies about who's in charge and who's supposed to do what. So making nice with all of those folks so that we're all on the same page and working better together when the time comes that we all really need to work together.
So I assume you're working with CRESA.
Yes, amongst others. Yes, absolutely.
Now, are you getting some opportunity? Because I know that Holly worked this disaster preparedness stuff for a while. Mm-hmm. And one of the roadblocks, I know she was leveraging the neighborhoods. That's your magical finger out into the world anyway, right? On the map your neighborhood and CERT pairing. And never could get enough budget behind her to even provide to the neighborhoods some of the materials they needed to accomplish those tasks.
Right.
Do you think that you're going to be more successful in that arena?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just asking.
And I'm saying that, Barbara, with all of two months experience in my job and not a lot of full understanding of the resources that are available to me. But you know, I would just use two words that I'm basing that initial assessment on are budget. You know, I just don't really know, you know, and quite frankly, I'm not really sure that the neighborhood outreach program may be the correct vehicle for being able to get that done. But we can certainly work with some of our partner agencies and see what we can do about that. But you're absolutely right. If there was one thing that this disaster decision-making workshop that I was attending earlier today, you know, made very clear is neighborhoods, the neighborhood associations, homeowners associations, just small groups of individuals are going to have to spend a couple of weeks taking care of each other before anybody else is going to come and take care of you.
Sure. So that's those search chats, critical.
Yep.
And yet, what, we only got two up?
Right. So that's, you know, that again, you know, less about disaster preparedness and disaster response from my perspective, and more about communication. Both communication before and during a disaster is what I've been tasked with talking about more specifically. But, you know, there are some folks over there at CRESA and there are folks in our own county organization that do have responsibilities for that, and working with them to help equip you with the information that you need is important. Just a very little bit about me personally. I was born and raised right here in Vancouver. Keep going away, coming back, going away, coming back. I'm back, hopefully, for the last time. I've got middle school and elementary school age daughters. Most of my family's right here. We're not going anyplace. So I hope you like me because you're stuck with me for a while. Before I was here, I was working primarily for the federal government for the last 12 years or so, both with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and then before that with the U.S. Forest Service. So my experience has been at a more regional level. You know, I spent a lot of time with the Corps of Engineers sitting in an office in Portland coordinating communications with Salem, Eugene, Medford, Grants Pass. That's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to take this job, is because I felt like I was actually disconnected from my own hometown and disconnected from actually getting out on the ground and communicating with the citizens with whom I'm supposed to be serving. And so I really look forward to that aspect of doing this job. I'm happy to take any questions you have, but mainly I think Barbara just wanted me to come by and say hi, because you'll probably be hearing from and about me, and I'm sure I'll be working closely with Jeff Mize and other communicators on various projects.
Which was actually my first question. It's, Jeff is still our main point of, our main PIO here.
Yes.
It's our public works PIO.
Yeah.
Yeah, and John, I'll be honest with you. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and have a long conversation with Jeff about how we're supposed to work and play well together. But generally speaking, my understanding of, you know, one of the things that I'm supposed to be is kind of like the project guy. If there's a big project with a lot of potential impact on a neighborhood or on a community, or a project that requires a great deal of input from various stakeholder groups, you know, I'm a public involvement professional by trade, and that's what I love to do, is to get out there and tap into the community and get their input on what we need to be doing. I think, you know, that two-way flow of information, I think, is, you know, on a specific projects and identifying what communication needs have to be met in order to make that successful is one of the things that I'll be doing a lot of. I'm not going to pass judgment on Jeff, but I kind of get the sense that he's more outbound communication. This is what Parks and Work is doing. The kind of a traditional journalist role, whereas I come from more of a public involvement, public participation role. So again, I'll have to sit down with him and figure out exactly how it is that we do that together. But yeah, Jeff will continue to be your main point of contact, and he will most likely be reaching into my office for support on bigger stuff as he needs it.
But I think the one thing about us, if you're not already aware, is both in our chapter of the comp plan and mission in general, is we are very much focused on rebuilding or building anew relationships with all the other parks departments across the county. We've got the picnic in the park coming up in July to kick that off, and we'll definitely be looking for help trying to get those relationships going.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the things that, you know, I've been tasked with too, is trying to, at least with unspecific issues, to try and like connect our department to other departments, be they cities, non-governmental organizations, whatever, so that we can be a more cohesive public affairs, public information community up here in the county.
Well, it's my first chance of meeting you today.
Yeah, sorry, I haven't had the opportunity, Bill.
No, no. And have you met Dr. Melata Allen? She's the...
I have.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay, very good. She's on top of her association big time.
Melata's already got me on speed dial.
All right.
So, yeah.
I knew she would.
Indeed.
Okay. Anyway, any other questions for me?
I look forward to working with you in the future.
Thanks very much.
Thanks
I appreciate
so much.
The opportunity.
Thanks for taking time to come.
Oh, you bet.
There's an invite right there.
That disaster workshop is getting boring anyway.
Did you attend the Cascadia Rising event yesterday?
I've been tapped into it a little bit, but actually Eric Frank with Cressa has been doing the bulk of the PIO work over there.
Yeah,
until I can figure out what the heck our comp plan actually is.
Okay. So. At operations, we had about a six and a half hour event that was taken seriously yesterday. So. Okay. That's pretty interesting.
Got it.
Yes.
Right to you, Bill.
Modeling good behavior.
Budget?
Budget. No. Miscellaneous updates.
Bill.
Oh, okay. Oh, we pass these up for you real quickly. Here we go. Can I keep one for myself? Probably not. Yeah, I got this. I got it.
Got it?
I do.
That's a busy guy.
Well, I just want to say again, I just love your new report.
Yes,
like
this is
wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to post it up on the grid as well, so everybody can kind of see what's going on.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But just a little update, and I think I've been telling you all along that we were being threatened to take over the Heritage Farm, which is right down the street from us, and it is officially in Parks Holding now, so that is our site to manage. And so we've also taken over the Legacy Lands Program, or the Conservation Futures Program. So we've adopted Pat Lee, who's a Legacy Lands Manager. And so adopting both of those at the same time, it kind of made sense to see if we can get Pat Lee to manage Heritage Farm. You know, since staff has already really stretched out there, And we're trying to figure out how we're going to crack that nut, because there's a lot of groups that there's an advisory board that meets for the farm. They don't meet monthly, they do meet quarterly, and I have yet to meet those folks. I did receive an email from them that they were quite concerned about the Parks Advisory Board taking over, you know, their role, and that's not going to be the case. But I would like for our Parks Advisory Board to meet the Farm Board so that we can, you know, have a cohesive relationship. That would be kind of cool. And so I'm probably going to be scheduling a meeting with them in July after the budget settles down and all that, and just, you know, meet and greet. We've also got a lot of stakeholders that are out there on site, and so
should we go to their next meeting, or should we invite them to ours?
We should invite them to ours, probably, and I have yet to meet them for the first time.
Right.
So I'll probably have a quick meet and greet with that initial group, and then probably introduce Pat, and then from there we can try to figure out, you know, maybe they can come to ours, and then we can start going to them. So whatever you want to do. You know,
so the other stakeholder groups out there are what, like master gardeners?
We've got several groups out there. You know, we've got the food bank is there. We've got the master gardeners, and there's about seven or eight groups that we have quasi-leases with that I am still trying to research and find out who all we have there. So that's part of the oversight of the management of the farm. And so there's a lot to be gained. I just haven't had a chance with budget season being here. I haven't had a chance to really research it. So I've got a lot of documents that were kind of handed over to us. And so the first thing I had in mind was the budget. What do we have to maintain that site with? Because we don't want to use parks funds, you know. So General Services is going to continue paying for the ongoing maintenance of the site. We don't have an actual budget, but whatever costs are affiliated with the farm, General Services will continue to pay for that.
That doesn't make a lot. You would think that they would just transfer the budget over for them.
There never has been a budget. It's just basically General Services, out of their general fund, they pay for everything kind of countywide.
So can they not identify how much they've spent?
Yeah, we've identified 5 years worth of expenses and said, how about we come up with an average with
an
inflation factor or something, but no. No,
I thought there was a little grant that grew with that land.
Oh, what's that?
I thought there was an annual stipend from some grant for that land. No?
Nothing I know of. Nope. And so basically the farm has been costing about $235,000 a year outright. And what that does is it supports the electricity, or the utilities in general, the maintenance of the site. It supports a half-time position. So Blair Wolfley is a part-time employee. He used to be the regional director for WSU. He retired, became the farmhand over here. And so this could very well be his last year working at the farm. And I would love nothing more than to have him job shadowed so we can learn what he's doing out there, because he's the one that's out there plowing up the fields and tilling and rough mowing and doing all the stuff on all that acreage out there. And so we're gonna have to replace him with somebody different once he retires. So that half position, all the other maintenance expenses, all utility expenses, that's going to continue to be paid for by General Services. And so that's what's taken us so long to take possession of the farm, is I had no assurances that that money would continue to support the farm, and that at some point in time, they're going to say, we don't want to support this anymore, it's on you. Well, and right now, just the management of the farm itself, you know, whether we do it or Pat Lee does it, we don't have any extra budget to manage the farm. So I'm gonna have to write a decision package that I'll submit probably $20,000 a year just to have Pat work, you know, to oversee the farm operations or the management of the site, because I don't think he can use Conservation Futures money that he's being paid by to manage a farm, because it's not Conservation Futures land. So there's that little, you know, we get that feeling out period and things that we have to adjust and to see if we can make this work out. So there's that in a nutshell. Second thing on the list.
Yeah. And have fun with that.
Yeah, thank you.
You can do that with the extra 2 hours you've been wasting on sleep.
Yes. So we'll figure it out and do time.
Everything with nothing.
Bill. I want to make sure that we maintain our relationships with all the stakeholders out there and the advisory board, and try to strengthen, you know, that, and possibly put some kind of a future to that farm. In our PROS plan, we actually did identify 3 different projects that were going to go forward, whether we had possession of the farm or not. It just needed it. One was to, you know, actually turn the entire site into more of a park-like setting, where we have a trail that goes around the entire thing, connects to Hillsdale Park, adding a park host, and then I think we had a couple other things identified in the capital facilities plan as well. So
and that's where that dog memorial is planned as well, right?
Yes.
Okay, we won't get into it. It's fine.
Yeah, that $2 million project, and I was talking to Bob Stevens, who's he's the deputy to Mark McCulley, and he says, I don't want that there. So I'm not sure. Our plan was to actually put it there because there's actually no place else to put it that's secure and in a high public area. So we may or may not be putting it there, but we'll find out. It's just a matter of
addressing it from
the part that makes it so interesting.
Special.
Yes.
Well, it'll bring people here.
Well, there's two parts of it. There's the Bob Stevens and then also the entire property is on the National Historical Register.
So yes, it is.
Also adding off on that part to it.
Yes, yeah. There is that piece of it as well.
So changing the aesthetics to where it's not an historically related component of that land.
Wasn't it going on this part that was designated a neighborhood park, though?
What's that?
Wasn't the... Never mind. Oh, later.
No. But there actually was a community learning center and the master plan for that site. Uh-huh. And it was supposed to be on the 68th Avenue side, but we have since did a boundary line adjustment and swapped property on top of the down to the property along 68th Avenue so we could build a big parking lot to support the park and the farm from 68th. Is it's a little tight up here, and even though they're building a parking lot right now, it's still tight for what is planned for the future. But we thought if we're going to, that community center that is sitting on along 68th, there's a great spot right along all these buildings here, just on the east side, to plop it there right along 78th, which has much higher exposure. So anyways, there's things like that to look at. And what I can do, I can share that master plan with you. It needs to be remaster planned because there was an early take on it, but it needs to be done again to a much higher level. So it's more of a concept plan, if you will. So that's it on Heritage Farm and Pat Lee. So we kind of already talked about the Prairie Fields PIF 6 and the Elizabeth Swanson staff reports are scheduled for consent on the 28th. So the Prairie Fields, I think that one's going to be delayed because we're waiting for an environmental assessment on that. But the Swanson should be going forward with PIF 10 and PIF 8 properties. So it's those three items should be up on the 28th for consent. So already talked about Pat managing the farm, which is good. And also, well, one thing we've done since I've adopted Pat is that we're trying to, he's now Public Works along with us, so we're not having to charge back and forth with reimbursables so much. So we're trying to set up a direct charging approach, and so we can code to each other's numbers so we don't have to pay overhead to each other, which is a huge savings to general fund. So that's in the works right now. Camp Hope Master Plan, we are moving ahead with that right now. We just met with our legal staff, and so as soon as we get something that's really starting to solidify, come together, I want to bring it to this board for you to take a look at and for your thoughts, and at some point in time get you to support it before I take it to a staff report. Actually, it's going to require a hearing to get this master plan approved. So that should be, I think our original plan was to do this in June, but of course that time has already come and gone. I think it's gonna be more like about August or September before this master plan is completed. Mm-hmm. And the funding we got to do this was from the timber proceeds from thinning the site originally. So no money out of pocket.
So all the more reason to go visit Camp Hope.
Yes, yes. Freshman's Bar House is now demolished. You wanna talk about that real quick, Jeremy? Or?
Sure, that was part of the list you saw. There were some mold issues in there, so the caretaker moved out, and it was something we had to address. Anytime you leave a building vacant like that, it's susceptible to vandalism and all kinds of problems. So we had to relocate the meter because we're going to put an RV pad in there for a camp host, and that took a while with CPU and all the construction is just crazy right now. But anyways, got that squared away, and they took down the house Wednesday. And we're prepping it to pay next week and get hopefully wrap all that up.
It was kind of heartbreaking to have to tear that house down, but it was ridden with toxic black mold. And in order to strip it down to the studs and the ceiling and floor, walls, everything. It would have cost a fortune to rebuild it. It was cheaper to tear it down and build a park hose pad. So we just didn't have the funds to make it happen. It would have been $100,000. So this was the approach that we took to getting that done. So luckily we have refunds to help with that, which is great. So budget, moving along. I plan to have that wrapped up this weekend. I've got the decision packages are listed down below here that I'm submitting. So the capital equipment purchase for two John Deere Gators, that's about $50,000. So our staff and our park ambassadors are always struggling to share the same equipment at the same time. So I've got weekend maintenance staff, I've got park ambassadors. They all need the same equipment. It's just time to get a couple more John Deere Gators. So we're asking for that. I'm asking for an FTE program assistant. That's Sherry's position that was just here. She's right currently a project employee, and her position was scheduled to end this month, but we got her extended to the end of the year. But after that, without this going through, her position is over. What she does for us is she helps us with the volunteer program. So she's out constantly out working hand in hand with the volunteers, and she works with youth, she works with teenage groups, she works with church groups and all that. And she also works with Eric on park scheduling. That consumes a lot of her time. She gets, 50 phone calls a day?
Pretty much.
Parks, the reservations are just enormous. And unfortunately, we don't have enough parks to go around for all the people who want to go out there and use them, because we're booked up solid throughout the rest of the year at Lewisville. So we're getting a lot of people that we have to turn away for reservations.
How much of that can you do online?
What's that?
Can you do any of that online?
Absolutely.
You can do it all online. It's just so it's still old school people calling.
Well, a lot of it is just questions. People are surprised that the shelters are all booked up for the season already. So they go online to try to book a shelter. Right. They can't do it. So then they call us because right. They don't do it.
Yeah, they think there's a problem with the system.
Yeah.
Right?
There must be something wrong. Yeah. So it's a lot of that.
Which is why we booked in January.
So yeah, we've initiated that. It was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. We went through the online system. It's called ActiveNet. It's pretty cool.
You
can zoom into Lewisville Park, and if it's green, you're good to go. If it's red, it's reserved, and you can pick a reservation 365 days in advance, which is really nice. So it's helped quite a bit.
A lot of our other calls have been, oh, it's going to be hot this weekend. I want to see if I can reserve shelter, but you can't do that within 7 days. So it's been a lot better.
Just
based on
generating a lot of calls. Yeah. So Sherry does those two jobs, plus she was our liaison with the Intertwined Alliance. So she was really instrumental in getting this trail summit put together for us, which was great. And also last year she ran the gardens over here at Heritage Farm as far as leasing them all out. And so that's going to be coming back to us again this year. So we'll have that. So that position is sorely needed. I wouldn't know how to act if we lost that spot. The next one is the plant grant writer, grant specialist position. That one, of course, this is our fourth take, I think. I think we're just going to keep going after them until hopefully we'll get this position at some time in the future. So we'll just keep going after it.
And are we getting any support or any feedback on that position as far as is the budget office telling you to keep bringing it back, or are you just bringing it back despite them?
Both. They seem to think that at some point in time in the future they could probably swing it, but I just had my monthly meeting with Heath this morning, and so I went down through this whole list with him. I said, what should we bring forward on these decision packages? And he says, well, keep trying, because it does establish a track record. We can actually put that.
You've been trying to get it for
how many? Say, this is our fourth attempt, and then the next time we'll see, it'll be our fifth attempt. We need this position, and at least we're showing that need is ongoing, that we're just going to keep trying.
Yeah, and that's good, because then they'll go, oh, it wasn't a fly by night, needed them for a couple of years.
Right. You know, yeah,
right.
So
exactly.
Good.
I think we're missing out on a lot of great opportunities for grants. It's not just RCO, but there's other grants to be had all over the time, year round. And so, I mean, I can think of all the things that we can do. We can actually pair grants with other grants, you know, to really leverage that money.
Yeah, you can.
And that position would easily pay for itself. It's just a matter of getting on board.
And that's why it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yes. And so I'm kind of begging and borrowing, you know, for the grants that we've submitted so far for RCO. But, boy, it'd be nice to have somebody who could sit there and really focus on that as a project. You know, that's what we're really lacking here.
And they're the ones that know, the ones that pair up, and they know proactively ahead of time you got to submit in September for this one and June for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if we can support you anyway more.
I appreciate it. So it's not just about rank events, but it's being the grant administrator and making sure all the budget's going in and out properly.
I was just going to say, the writing of the grant is hard, but
it's tracking.
Getting the grant, then that's exponentially difficult.
That is very difficult.
Yeah, and doing
what qualifies, what doesn't
follow-up.
Qualify, all that kind of stuff has to be, you know, really monitored closely.
Piece of paper that says you used it.
And an ongoing capital repair fund, that's what Jeremy was talking about, that REIT fund, we want to definitely keep that door open and have money again for this next, these, I don't know if it's going to be a year at a time or if they can actually budget this for a biennium period. I would love to see a biennium that's what I'm going to ask for, but I'll settle for 1 year at a time if needed, because we can always go after them with the spring and fall supplementals to achieve that. But it seems like, to me, with the REITs coming in at a higher rate, I can't see why they would say no to this, so we'll see. Of course, Sherry's already talked about the Intertwine Summit, Trail Summit that's coming up. So if you can make it, that'd be fantastic. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to collaborate with all the jurisdictions around the county. And we can kind of wrap our arms around a project that makes a lot of sense, that engages a lot of the jurisdictions. Even the ones that are not, you know, right on that trail system. You know, we've got City of Battleground, we've got, you know, Hawkinson, we've got, you know, Yakka, all those folks can engage. We've got all the neighborhoods across the county. Everybody's going to be using this trail once it gets built, and we'll probably get a million to a million and a half uses a day once this thing gets built. This is going to be phenomenal. So I hope we can get some support generated behind this, and we can get the funding that we need, hopefully from the Fish and Wildlife Department, to really support this, and from the National Park Service. So we'll see how this goes.
If anyone's able to attend this meeting, can you bring a stack of park invites?
Yeah, we're already signed up and already planned on doing it. And Milad is going to be here too. Milad. So if I miss twisting a arm, she'll do it. And if you're here, you jump right in.
I won't be there. 85 people I'm just in this room would make me.
Oh, would make you crazy? Yeah.
I can't even go to Costco. I can't do it.
Then you're not doing the shopping for the picnic? Gosh, I'd work you off.
No. Costco, don't own a car. Can't go.
There's a few other things I wanted to talk to you about, but I can't remember what they are. Right, so.
Maybe that'll come up.
Any questions on anything?
Thank you.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Just curious, how many are already signed up for the Intertwine?
85, she had said. Of us.
Yeah, are you already RSVP'd? 1, 2.
3 now. Good job.
Cool. Good.
Fantastic.
Good job.
So, you know, because we have that many people in here, of course, we're going to have to put all the tables away and just have rows of chairs out here. So we can accommodate 114 or something like that.
116, the sign says.
116, okay.
Yeah, 116. So, wow, that's like sardines.
That's...
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
you
do have
26
places.
If you have windows, you'll get some fresh air.
It'll be busy.
Right.
Indeed. Okay, that's all I got.
Awesome.
Sounds like you haven't done anything lately,
no.
Bill.
Slacker.
And you were fast enough, you almost got this meeting back on schedule. So
yeah.
Right.
I do have to say, Bill and I sat through the, for two different components, but we had to sit through the whole planning commission's deliberation process for the comp plan. Bill was last on the agenda on the 11th page, and it took him an hour to get through number one on the first page. But they found their stride, and they started working through some things and turning it out. But Bill didn't get to go up there until like 10 o'clock at night.
It was the week before that.
So hard.
The week before that, Milada, during the public testimony, she was the last one on the list. And
how late was that?
It was like 9:45 or something. It was crazy.
Gosh. I'm like, Bill, can you hold the door open? I gotta go get a coffee.
She just turned around and gave me that look. I'm like, are you kidding me?
I'm a weenie. I did my testimony and I left. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I just want to thank all of you for your support. You too, Milada, for all the support that you give us. And every time you go up there and testify, I think it leaves a mark, it leaves a memory, and it just keeps keeps pushing us forward. So thank you for all that.
Great. And that's what I keep reminding you, that even when we don't get to testify, like earlier this week, that being there for Lori, because they know your faces.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they'll get to know them after you've shown up a few times. Your face value really carries weight, that as soon as they see you sitting down, they know something's it's like Brad Losbeck was sitting behind me. He says, something must be going on for Parks. I mean, they know it. So your face value is important.
Yep. Oh, speaking of which, I do have one other thing to let you know about, and that is the the candidates, or the, what do you call it, the recruitment for the Parks Advisory Board positions that closes today. And so we'll take all those folks in and probably evaluate them and prioritize them, and then we'll send them off to the board, and they're the ones that make the final decision. So we should hopefully know, I would say, in a week, maybe 2 weeks. It really depends on if the board wants to interview them or if they just want to go out for a recommendation from us. How that's going to work out, I don't know yet. But we will put our heads together. I think we probably have about 8 folks, I think, that have thrown their names in. And so we'll take a look at them, and then we'll come up with a list, send it off to the board probably early next week, and we'll go from there.
So okay. Hopefully we might have them on board and put them to work on July.
That's the hope. I would love to have them on, on board by July. I should set up probably an orientation meeting with them. And so we should probably talk about orientation. If there's anything that I've missed from the, so Dave, you'd probably be the best one, and both of you actually, if you want to let me know if there's some things that I'm missing on orientation that you need to know about ahead of time, let me know so I can improve my orientation skills.
All right, subcommittee reports. Chris isn't here.
Chris is here.
Oh, Chris is here, sorry.
I sent out an invite, some doodle options for a first meeting. So I got you and Jay and...
When did you send that out? Did I respond?
5 minutes after I got here.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Sorry, the end of the school year for us is just ridiculous. So
I can't understand why.
So I picked the week after, and then the fourth option was right before our next meeting here. So let me know what you guys want to do, and we can get that on the books and get going.
Cool. Marketing and partnerships is a question mark, because that's...
I guess you already got your picnic readout from that group.
All right, Dave, anything?
We have not started, we haven't sent out Doodle or anything yet to have our initials, just Barbara and I right now. I spoke to you about it. I'm hoping if we can get the new people in that I can stay.
Maybe we'll
just
assign one.
And and I do have...
He's the lead. He just wants more members.
Yeah, I have one. Well, if they want to take the lead, too. I do have one. Or I have 3 people that are interested on the design private developer side. And I'm looking for someone in the more park user side.
Maybe someone from Fly the Neighborhood. They're so very engaged with parks. So
what is the park subcommittee? What is that?
Well, remember that their first job is to define their scope.
Okay.
Yeah, we have enough.
Bring food.
But it's so broad. Like,
I know.
Is there an idea?
I have some.
Park development, park design, park use, park outreach. Is there a definition? No.
Remember, that's the first task of, we're not telling them what they need to be.
Yep.
We've got the information from our PRAC subcommittee that was that. Yeah. That is helpful. Like, I sent Chris his stuff from the business committee from PRAC so that he'd get some. But we're not PRAC.
Right.
So we get to define who we are.
This is such a broad.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
And that's...
Because I ain't signing up for anything. I don't know specifically what I'm I'm a little... Yeah.
But that is one of the reasons.
So
Yeah. Because they're going to have to deal with the decision that I make right now. So
yeah.
I'd rather they get some input.
Yeah. Collaborative. I like the way
that's
you approach things.
Okay.
Very good. Anything going on with the sports gym?
No, we have not had a chance to get organized yet.
You're going to have a rather large party at the field first and then do
it. Yeah,
we'll find some.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll get through that.
So, Jay, I think the dust oil is scheduled for like the 22nd, 23rd of the month. So
the what now?
The dust oil out of Carmen.
Oh, okay, great. We'll start up the 24th. Is the start of the deal, so that's great.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, we want to do it right beforehand.
Great.
I feel like I should take a second look around the room and make sure Kelly isn't here. No, he's not.
No, he's not yet. That wasn't supposed to be there yet.
His phone would be ringing if he were here.
This is true.
He wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
All right.
I jumped the gun. But no, he did say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on PAM standards and training, just a heads up. I think that Dave sent out a good question to the team and didn't get a response. So if you could take it.
Sorry.
I've had some response.
Oh, now I have had some.
Did I respond to it?
Yeah, but for those of you who haven't, it doesn't matter how long you've sat on here, if you're a newbie or an old bee, some of the things, even, you know, like me, there's stuff that I wish I still don't know, but I'm going to put it on the list. What is it that would help you as a new member? What do you know now that you wish had been in your training back then?
And I have gotten some good responses. So.
Super.
Excellent. Thank you.
So for our next meeting. Okay. Yeah. I thought you hadn't. Okay. The other thing that
when
we
is our
are...
next meeting?
I sent out a thing. I'll go back and find my email because I forget now.
Okay.
Because I was mixing it up with picnic stuff. But you did get an email. Saying I wanted to schedule that.
We were going to trump you.
I'll go back. Go back and find. But the next thing on our list is getting you the bylaws for the group. That's our next priority, and then we'll go on to the training. But we're kind of multitasking on this. So we've been moving forward.
Cool. All right. Let's move on to round table. We'll start. Well, Bill's already had his, so we'll move to Leanne.
Let him go last.
Any good great things, Bill, you haven't shared?
I don't think I have anything. Just been really, really busy.
Yes.
Yeah. Budget.
Budget.
Budget. Budget. Yeah.
I have something, of course. Are you kidding? Handouts.
Oh, she brought treats.
I brought handouts.
Oh.
Because, so it's school stuff. We have been doing some significant public outreach. So I'm just going to, there's a Marshall and there's a Truman. So I'm going to give you sort of one of each. Marshall's, Truman. Marshall and Truman, one on each. And then I'm also going to hand one of these out to everyone. That way. And I'm going to ask you to take this and a couple in the back. A lot of you probably already seen this in your mailbox. I did that one a lot anyway. Thank you very much. Okay, well, that's okay. Schools are everywhere. So if you open up to, in here, page 8 and 9, I've talked about this briefly with everyone. Vancouver Public Schools is, we already talked about informally the grant that we've received, and that's really specific for class size reduction. So that $43 million will be to, it's very specific how you have to spend it, but it's essentially for reducing the K-3 class size reduction and supporting all day K. So those funds are not based on facility need or infrastructure needs at aging or new school replacement schools. The process that we've embarked upon about 4 months ago was extensive community engagement process to rebuild, renew, and refresh some of the Vancouver Public Schools, predominantly an elementary school, but there'll be 5 elementaries, 1 middle, a combined iTech preparatory school, an expansion on DSAA, a replacement of an old wing at Columbia River High School and a replacement of the stadium, and a missing one, Fergrove, which is a special needs school for students with behavioral disorders. So, and then we accept individuals for both Vancouver Schools and our region for that school. And then the last thing is a Leaser campus. If you know, Leaser building is very, very, very old. So we've been going through a symposia process with each of these schools to identify and create awareness and imagine and what a new school might look like that would support better, best practices around 21st century teaching and learning. So we have six of these that we did over the last 3 months. Every 2 weeks we have a 3-day symposia, and through that imagining process our teams come up with conceptual design. So the next page shows you a little bit about what we do for each one of those symposia. And they've just been fantastic. So the community's recognizing we have several buildings that are over 50 years old, and we have significant issues and problems at some of those schools. In addition to all the school replacements that we are evaluating and needing, we also have some 21st century upgrades and needs at every site. Needs a little chicken in their pot. And so at some schools that would be, you know, instead of the wood chip, we're looking to do playground, soft surfacing under the playground, improve the playground experience for kids. It might be other things, new roofs or some of those other infrastructure things you would use a bond for. This will be a huge effort on Vancouver Public Schools to put this together, and then we're hoping to take this before our board in October, late October, for an approval to go on the ballot for February 2017. This will be appropriately reviewed for your cost per thousand on your tax assessment. We're doing that evaluation and commitment now, but to give you an idea, a new elementary school is coming in around $35 million. So if we have five of those, and we have a middle school, probably around $70 million, and we have an iTech preparatory, you can see this is going to be a rather large bond request to our community. And the good news to this is that we have not passed a bond in our district since 2001. So we have, and those on a 20-year bond, we have a significant amount of that debt that's retiring. So as we go through the process, we'll work diligently to stagger those costs to reduce or have no increased impact on the community, on their cost per thousand tax rate that they're feeling now. That's the goal. But to be really clear, it will be the largest bond measure that's come before our community in our history of our community.
So do you have a target now, 250 or?
More. We're looking, it depends on where we land with all of the, because we're taking everything we know, getting it down, and then figuring out what we can afford before we go forward with the board. But just on the outskirts of it, we think this might be $300 to $400 million bond. But remember, we get some state match assistance, so we'll be able to reduce that amount. We also have this $43 million, which is for class size reduction, but we're going to be able to use that with some of the new construction of the buildings to add capacity that we were going to have to add anyway. So like Walnut Grove, for example, they have 6 classrooms and portables. We're adding another portable this summer. That's 8 classrooms out there that we could use, maybe some K-3 CSR. As that community continues to expand, they have almost 800 kids there now. So we don't want our elementary schools to exceed 700. So we're thinking, well, now what do we do? You know, so I mean, so we've got some work to do, which we're doing. But so we're hoping to bring that down through some of the other leverages that we can bring to the bond. But I did want to share that these two handouts that I'm handing you here, one's for Truman. We're reimagining Truman, and we're reimagining Marshall. These are two, you can go to the website at the bottom of each of these and see how this sort of process works with the community. It's a very personal approach to understanding what the needs are for each community, and then it's obviously an interconnected outreach across our school district as to what the needs are. So.
To add on to that, the VPS website where this link, you can sign up to get notifications on the individual schools.
Yes.
It's awesome. So I
fantastic.
Just got
one. In fact, I have to take a picture of you all here sort of reading this because I have to send it to Kat so she can tweet it. So thank you for that intro because I have to do that.
All right, so pose.
If I know Kat's going to get all over me about, I'm not tweeting and I don't tweet. So.
so.
Okay, another one. Turn. Okay, here. Yeah, move. Right. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy to help.
Yeah. Get tweeting, girl.
Always happy to help.
Very good.
I was holding it upside down.
Yes, I know.
Yours was upside down.
If I'm looking at this, so if you can sign up, thank you very much, because there it's a fun website to look at. We fly a drone over each of the sites, so you can get a sense of what the property looks like and what we're looking to do. You'll see what the teams have done in terms of their concept drawings from the three-day symposia. So lots of fun. That was more than my allotted time.
That's all right. We saved time in the last night. Okay, well, I've been more or less AWOL for the last month, and I'll be that way for probably another month with the way my life is going, but it's all good. I feel like I had two bits of news, but I'm only remembering one. The one is just letting you know that the dog park out at the Camas Grove Airport appears to be moving forward. We got our initial proposal from Dog Paw sometime recently. They are looking to take 7 out of the 30 acres for their park and are throwing together a proposal for the port to sign off on. They're hoping to actually have the thing up and built by scanning it's September or October or something like that. So they're moving on it. So that's kind of cool.
That's great. Excellent. Thank you for giving me out.
Yeah.
Progress.
Yeah, definitely progress. And that was the other thing. You brought up youth on the board. Have we discussed youth? Having a youth advisor or a youth board member.
We did way back.
When we first
came together, that was one of the questions we had, and there, I think Bill took it to the counselors, and it was like they had enough trouble just getting us on board. But I know that, and I know I was talking with what's her name, Davis from out in Ridgefield, and they do. Was it Ridgefield? It was either Ridgefield or Battleground, one or the other, has got one actually defined as a board member.
I don't think it'd be hard to get one.
Yeah, I think, you put out an advertisement to Vancouver schools, you'll find a senior or two.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, or if nothing else.
Senior projects.
Yeah.
Do we want to
It might be difficult the time that we meet, though.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, that's the problem there, is we meet at 12 to 3. If we're like 3 to 5.
They could be like a subcommittee, though, that feeds ideas into this organization.
Yeah, or they can skip school, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill,
I thoroughly promote that.
Would it not be an excused absence? I mean,
this counts as a civics class.
Well, it would, except you only get kids 182 days a year.
And so I'm trying to figure out how to get out of school every day.
Yeah, I know. So we don't want to validate that for
us. Do we want to do something about pushing that idea forward a little bit?
I think it's a great... We could send that forward, maybe through the volunteer program. I know Karen's been really active, and Leanne both, about the board and getting the folks on board. Back when we were forming the Parks Advisory Board, I was talking to Councilor Bedore, who was a strong advocate for trying to get the youth on the panel, just as a learning experience,
Yeah.
And so I can see, if we can reach out and see if we can get one or two on, fine, sure.
Yeah, you talk with Jeff Carruthers out there in your cult, and their park ideas primarily are driven by the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they have great ideas.
Absolutely. You got the imagination that goes along, new ideas.
Right. Some incredible skills.
But I think need to have it stronger.
I mean, I would have to put together some kind of comprehensive outreach strategy to youth, and that may be part of a piece of it as well. So you might get that necessarily from each board individually. It'll probably be a recommendation going forward as part of a central strategy.
Okay, so it sounds like the board is more or less in favor of it. We'll leave it to staff hands to
I think we had our hands full with the PROS last year and decided to let it sit until we were done.
That sounds right. Okay, cool. That's it for me.
Okay. One more thing. Anybody have one of those big ropes you use for tug of war?
I just got rid of mine.
Yeah.
Dang it. You know, because you don't want just a regular rope, because it'll do rope burn. Anyway, get your feelers out. See if somebody you know has got a big chunk of rope burn. And we were thinking of maybe setting up a few challenges. Maybe one board to another. You know, I don't know. I don't pull very hard, but I got enough weight I can sit down and be an anchor. The other thing is I went ahead and I set out the guest list here. So that before you leave, maybe you take a look. The primary area that we're needing hands on and shaken is the Clark County people, and then the people that you know that need to be on this list. Okay? And I put out some extra sack here for both the beggars and the invites. And remember, these are not the actual invites. They're the save the date. So we need their email addresses so we can get the e-bike to them. Last question, does anybody have a lot of heartburn about one of the things we've talked about is needing to do some branding of PAB. PAB is like, what's PAB? And I think you came up with the idea of adding the picnic bench to it. The concept of a logo for PAB that's a tree with a little picnic bench that says PAB, Parks Advisory Board, because we need a logo to go on some of our materials. Mm-hmm. But if we do it, I don't want anyone to think, well, we took license to make decisions for the group, but we don't have time to wait around.
You know, if Clark County has Lewis or Clark or some explorer in a canoe, maybe we just need to put that same person in front of a park bench.
He's ugly.
Yeah, let's put him on the canoe.
No, well, what we're working on is Bill has already gotten the authority for us to use a Clark County logo in conjunction with our name.
Oh, okay, good.
So that logo will be on one side. The other side of it is PAB, us.
So you don't think we have time? Why not?
Because we're cranking as fast as we can, number one. Number two, we're getting the banner built. The banner needs to have that logo in there.
Oh, and we're doing
and
this
Jamie,
for the...
This is for the...
Yeah.
Do you have a sample?
Because I was going to say, if we want to really start...
No, if I did, I would have brought it today. I was hoping Jamie would have a draft.
If we want to get involved, we certainly could reach
no,
out to...
No, we do not have a... We are not branded.
Can you place one in the information online, though?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of ideas. Yes, there's a couple of ideas out there. I asked you to feed in any ideas you had. Because Jamie Allen is working, she's the graphic artist one, that's going to draw it up for us and got no feedback. So far, there's just the two suggestions out there, except for the one concept. Milana was saying that it sounded like such a wonderful one to this person because it belonged to someone else, organization.
I would be in favor of slowing down choosing a logo. Because the logo sticks with us forever, but we could do something for the park piece coming up, the picnic coming up. But I wonder if it's a PAB logo that's going to stick with PAB. If we
don't want to rush.
And I totally agree with the not want to rush it, Jennifer. I'm totally behind that, except for it's been 2 weeks that we've now lost. Waiting for this meeting to ask
right.
for
input. So what
input.
She's saying, though, is why not just go ahead and create something for the picnic, and we'll come back later for a logo.
We can do that. We can do that.
Just put Parks Advisory Board in the corner or whatever, I guess.
We'll do with what we is right.
So I could see a way to engage our student or our youth person is to, through a creative side that way, and maybe that could even be a 6-month subcommittee where that they would feel like, whoa, I get to help, figure out how to develop the logo. I think that might be a way to help engage some youth.
Go for it.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
I think it's possible, but
I know
school
when we
getting
did,
out
yeah.
sort of
I know when we did it for our neighborhood, because that's the first thing I usually like to do on laying a foundation is brand it for ongoing. And we did a contest for the entire neighborhood. And we got several good submissions, and actually one of the school kids is the one that won. So when you look out and you see the North Salmon Creek, that Chinook, you're jumping that fish thing.
It was one of theirs.
So when you've got all of this stuff, but we're at a point where if we don't move forward on some of this printing and stuff, it ain't going to get done before July.
So
move forward on.
So we'll do what we do and decide what we want just as a team for the picnic.
I think that's.
And if it turns out that
it's a winner, it's a winner.
Then it's a winner.
It's a winner.
There we go.
I just wonder. Yeah, we don't want to rush it.
But it was a great idea.
Just an idea. Cool. Jay, got anything?
The only thing I've got is we at Harmony reached out to the Dog Ponds folks, and we've got a meeting with them next week.
Okay.
So trying to coordinate. That area, if you remember, it's the area to the south of Harmony, and they're going to develop it, and we're going to try to work with them to help them get that whole area coordinated so that we don't cut each other off from a parking lot or something else like that.
If you combine the baseball section of Harmony with the dog park, I mean, that's some great...
The only problem is you can't take dogs on sporting events and onto the field. You can't let them
They leave
free.
Gifts.
Yeah, you lose kids and dogs' potential.
Exactly.
And it was great to see everybody out there.
Thanks again for hosting us. That was fantastic.
My name is Kilrey.
I was just going to ask for suggestions on where to find someone to join the Parks Board, but it sounds like I'm talking a lot.
East Minnehaha also is very active in parks.
Jeremy?
No.
And I got names for you there, too.
I do have one thing here. Unless, Milana, if you want to talk about it, the Flutter Neighborhood Association newsletter. It's just.
If I could, please.
Yes.
Jillian Haskell's out.
Yes.
Your invitations basically to come to the 4th of July, which is our annual 4th of July children's parade, as well as activities after the parade for kids to learn about environment, sustainability, health, safety, and arts and indoor and outdoor recreation. And we get about 5,000 to 6,000 people coming from there. Because you will see a lot of neighbors that meet and greet for the first time, even though they're in their backyard. This is a destination to go to, and it's in Philida Community Park, which was built with partnerships with the community and the Philida Neighborhood Association. So from the partnerships, about $1 million of that we've added went into that park, and that's why we chose July 4th as a celebration of the community, the park, of course, 4th of July. But then we have kids from 2 to 92. They're just running around with big smiles. And as you can see on page 2, they're very happy to be there. So we would like for at least one or two of you to come on out and check it out, because that only demonstrates to you that this is what it's all about. It's all about our kids, about the future, and indoor and outdoor recreation, because those are healthy, playful choices. So, but on the other hand, I have had two counselors that wanted me to elaborate to them as to why I testified the way I testified. And as a former planning commissioner, Clark County Planning Commissioner, they wanted to know what my ideas as in that capacity work, and why was I so disappointed with the process a long time ago, because it was not included as part of the quote-unquote PIF raising rates before, and therefore we're now so far behind. But of course the same person actually, was testifying about it being too high for the contractors to pay more. And we did back off, it was recession, it was everything else. However, it is time to catch up. And this is a good time for them to catch up because of the growth and everything else that's going on. So I just wanted to let you know that even though I was not planning on going out there and talking and providing information on it, I have been invited to the conversation.
Great. Thank you.
All right. And of course, the planner and the grant writer is going to be one of my priorities as well.
Cool.
Thank you, Lana. All right, unless there's something else good for the order, we get to close this meeting out 2 minutes early.
Wow.
All right. Good job, John.
We just started, John. Yeah.